Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex, the only show where two total dudes review one total diva show and delight the entire world. I am one half of those aforementioned dudes. I am the top hunk of pop punk, the brains behind America's favorite wrestling-themed Ramones core pop punk band, the Razor Ramones. I am Rex Razor Sharp. And joining me, as always, on this arduous journey of a nightmare, is the host of Turnbuckle Turmoil, the host of the Sign of the Times, the host of Sign Guys Wrestling Show. He is the Dean Ambrose to my Roman Reigns, so make it rain, room temperature only. And welcome to the show, the genius known only as Sign Guy. Sign Guy, how you doing, brother?
A little disappointed this week.
Why are you disappointed?
Well, I tried the jam and lemon ginger tea from Celestial. I was disappointed in it. I like lemon tea, and I like ginger tea, so I thought if they combine the two, it should be delightful. I just didn't find the delightfulness in it.
So this is from Celestial Tea, you say?
Yes.
Well, we're putting them on blast right now, brother. Take to the lines. Take to the airwaves. Take to the web, listeners. Blow up Twitter. Let Celestial Teas know. Ruin Sign Guy's day.
It's more than that because I got a whole box of the stuff.
And you're going to have to drink it and be upset every single time.
I already downed about a pitcher's worth.
Ugh. What temperature was it?
It was not quite ice cold. I don't like to put ice in my tea, but I had it cold. I've not tried it hot, but judging by when I tried a little bit at room temperature when it was steeping, I wouldn't be a fan of a hot either. This jam and lemon ginger just is not their best product.
Now, perhaps was your mistake to order or to purchase something where the first word you see is jammin', J-A-M-M-I-N apostrophe.
Yes.
That's always...
Well, like I said, lemon, that's fine. The ginger, that's fine. You combine the two, It's not so fine anymore.
Has there ever been a product that has been made better by a hip, cool, totally tubular word like jammin' or such?
Yes.
What?
Jammin' Jimmy Garvin.
Well, that's not a product, though. That's a person.
Well, he was like a product because WCW tried to market and entice people to pay to see him.
Okay. But beyond human beings, because anyone you give the name Jammin' to, then alliteration, that always wins in humans.
Not Jammin' Jimmy Hart, because Hulk Hogan tried to get that over and it just never stuck.
Well, but Hulk Hogan's a racist. Did you factor that in?
No, because at the time he tried it, that was not on anyone's mind.
It was in his heart, though, brother. It was right there. And I almost said that black heart.
That's racist.
Yeah. His heart is definitely not black.
I'm also a little disappointed because I still have yet to find this Green Mountain Coffee outside of the K-Cups. I know it exists.
I did
my research. I keep checking store after store. I was in the HT market just the other day in Seattle. They didn't have it.
You know what? I got a suggestion. Buy a Keurig. Problem solved.
That wouldn't make me find the ground bags of it. That's the mission.
But then you can buy the K-Cups and live a life of glee like everyone else that has a Keurig.
Not really, because then I would have failed in the actual mission. My mission wasn't to find a K-Cup. I already found that. I could get those now.
My mission was to find
the elusive ground bags.
Well, let me tell you something, brother. What was Christopher Columbus's mission? Was it to find America?
No, that's why he failed horribly, and then he caused all kinds of problems.
He did fail horribly. He did a lot of slavery and rape, but he also found the greatest country known to God's own eyes, brother. So, you know, he failed his mission.
There are people living here, millions of them.
But they didn't know they needed to be found, did they?
They didn't have to be found. They knew where they were.
But let's talk about this. Without Christopher Columbus, do you think you would be able to then even find Green Mountain Coffee in K-Cups? Do you think they would exist?
Yes.
No. Look
yeah.
at other places. They don't have K-Cups in Mexico. And look at the Aztecs.
They have K-Cups in Mexico.
No, they don't.
They do so.
I don't know. What is going on? What's the scuttlebutt this week, Stein Guy? What's the talk around the water cooler?
Well, that Gigi Rod, she summons her best winky-faced Jonak, and she yelled at Renee Young. I came close to wanting to get on a plane, fly out there, and punch that Gigi straight in the mouth. Why would you yell at Renee Young for doing her job?
That's a good question. Probably because Gigi is the worst. I think we all are in agreement. Well, not we aren't. Sarah Lee is the worst. But Gigi is also bad.
Gigi, I think, is worse than Sarah Lee because Sarah Lee, at least, isn't an egomaniacal maniac that just goes around trying to sabotage things. And it's like, let's get together and we'll get this person eliminated because that's how they do it on Survivor and this has to be like Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Sarah Lee never did that type of shenanigan. Gigi did. Gigi's like, hey, Amanda, let's team up and we'll get someone eliminated, even though that doesn't conform to any of the established rules on this show.
Okay, I'll give you that. But Sarah Lee has also never done one thing athletic. never done one thing charismatic, never done one thing right. I don't know. Sarah Lee's just kind of a garbage bin.
Yeah, but nobody does it like Sarah Lee.
I don't. I just said that. Were you listening?
Yeah.
I do not like Sarah Lee. So somebody doesn't like Sarah Lee, and that somebody is me, brother.
The ZZ loves her, and that's all that counts.
That is all that counts. ZZ's the absolute best.
She's going to be calling herself Sarah ZZ Lee by the end of October, I predict.
Mm-hmm. He's going to be mouthfuls, barely. Oh, no. Oh, no. So before we get started with this episode entitled Good Diva, Bad Diva, I'm going to present to you, Sign Guy, a little bit of a game. I know how you like games.
Is that a Triple H reference?
Yes. I know how you like the game. Also, the rapper, the game. I know what a big fan you are of him. So I thought I would bring a game to you. What's your favorite song by the game?
I'd say the one Motorhead did for him.
Motorhead, when they did that song for the game, the rapper.
Sure. I didn't know Triple H even rapped.
Oh, yeah, he had a big hit.
He has his hands in many projects.
It is true. He's done a lot in his life. His rap album. Remember when he feuded with G-Unit?
No, is that local to Oregon?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I missed it.
What's the name of, I don't know, that city in Oregon with the G?
Oh, G, yeah, he's in, like, Salem, usually, sometimes Portland.
There you go. Remember when he feuded with him?
I do not, which is, I think we established.
All right, so back to this game. So I got a game for you, because I know how you like the game. Both the wrestler and the rapper and the song performed by Motorhead. You're all about it. So this game, this game is entitled, Guess the Rating, Sign Guy. Guess the Rating. So are you ready?
Yes.
I said, are you ready?
Yes.
Did last week's episode of Total Divas, entitled T-Mode, draw a rating over or under 1 million viewers? Again,
I'm going to say...
Let me repeat the question first.
All right.
I got to repeat it first. You need time to think. So take this time. Did last week's episode of Total Divas, entitled T-Mode, draw a rating over or under 1 million viewers?
I'm going to say slightly over.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Now, is that your final answer?
Yes.
Sign Guy, you are correct. Give yourself a hand. The rating was a 1.01, so I assume that means it was 1,010,000 viewers, though I'm sure they can't get the exact number, but over a million viewers. Can you believe this?
I don't see why you would lie about it, so yeah, I think I believe it.
Most episodes this season have been right over a million or right under a million. I'd say they're averaging right at a million viewers this season. Pretty interesting. Fascinating stuff.
Just under what Total Dudes does.
Just under. I mean, of course, we're more popular. Good grief. Now, I think it's time to hit the music. Segment of the show, Total Dialogue, where we take a scene from this week's episode of Total Divas. We transcribe that scene and we recreate it for you, the listener, at no additional cost. This week's scene, if I took my notes correctly, is going to feature Sign Guy as Brie Bella, and I will be portraying Nikki Bella as well as referee.
And to be fair, the referee has a name, and it is Derek Moore.
Now, I looked at the captioning. It just called him referee, so that's his name.
But he does have a name. Would you believe Total Divas, who constantly screws up people's names,
hey,
goes in and out of people's names, if it's their legit name or not?
He's a character on a television show, and that character's name is Referee.
I disagree strongly with that, but all right.
All right, let's do this. And C. Can't ever whistle right. Ew, your lips look like a butthole when you whistle, by the way.
Ew, you look so ugly.
Till I get out of breath. I can't whistle pushing out.
Who whistles, in?
You can tickle my mouth.
I think you can only whistle out.
Brianna, I'm whistling in.
Ew, that's not a whistle.
I can only do it in. Then what is it?
I don't know. It's like,
hey, girls, my Brianna looking for y'all. Oh, my God, you scared me.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, can you whistle?
Do you whistle in or do you whistle out?
Whistle out.
I can't whistle. Pretend that was a loud whistle.
Oh, my gosh.
And scene. Sign Guy, what was this?
I have no idea. No idea.
There's no way to explain what this was. Can you imagine? You were told to explain to someone who's never heard of this before in their life what this was. Can you imagine having to do that?
No. No, I can't.
So this episode Season 4, episode 6. Good Diva, Bad Diva. It was an episode. And just like there's two sides of that diva, the good diva and the bad diva, I felt this episode also had two sides. The good side that I love that made me laugh really hard, and the bad diva, the side that made me very upset and hate life. So how did you feel about it, Sonya?
I mainly just was in a blind rage. It kept building and building and building and building. And I said, well, maybe this part of the show will calm me down. And then it built and built and built the rage. I wanted to go through the entire neighborhood and cancel everyone's cable package lest they see that episode by accident. I just wanted to keep it calm because there's enough tension in this city as it is. We don't need to add to it with cops just shooting random passersby saying that's for total divas.
Yes. Well, why don't you go ahead and start? Because I already know who you hated. So go ahead and talk about Navi.
How could you have possibly known that? Did you break into my house and look into my dedicated Total Dudes notebook where I keep my Total Dudes notes?
I know it would seem like that, but I just have. That's why we're the Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns of this. You know, we get it.
I thought it's because we enjoyed tea.
I don't like tea.
That hurts me in my liver. I was hoping to have one of those little tea parties like Roman Reigns threw.
Nope. So tell us about Natty.
Well, she was the absolute bottom of the barrel. You thought she was bad, but then she went 50,000 below the sea worse, and she was bad. Now, they jumped around this episode quite a bit, but they were still in Europe apparently when they started, and she was telling TJ that, hey, when we move into this new home, we're going to have to sell our old home, so my sister's going to come and stay for like 2 days. You know, just a couple of days to do everything. And TJ's like, but we hired movers for that. And Natty's like, oh, no, they'll screw it all up. So we're going to have Jenny there to do everything. And he's thinking, well, why did I pay $1,000 to movers if we were just going to have your sister there to do everything? But that's not what was going down, because Natty thought that TJ was so ridiculously stupid that he wouldn't notice that her sister is actually moving into the home permanently. Not going to leave. She was living there. And she thought TJ was so horrible 80s sitcom bad that after a month he wouldn't say, wait, has it still only been 2 days? And that he would say, why TJ? Of course it has. And then they would both laugh. And then you'd hear canned laughter in the background because Natty thinks this is like a big sitcom, apparently. And she just lied to TJ saying, oh, yeah, just a couple days. And she told her sister, no, TJ wants you to move in. He's
yes.
glad you're moving in. Bring as much luggage as you can when you come to see it. And then for last, just tell him you're going to be there for 2 days. It'll be funny. And she said, oh, okay. And then when Jenny gets there, Natty was like, what would the Bellas do in this situation? She's like, oh, they're like incest. And so what she did was she starts making out with her own sister, filling her up, and then proclaiming loudly in front of her mother and father, you're not wearing underwear. So she's like, I'm a full-scale Bella twin now. I'm Natty Bella. Throw up my sister. She wasn't wearing underwear, so I made sure everybody knew it. And then the lies continue because TJ's like, are you sure she's only staying for 2 days when she's got four suitcases packed to the brim? And Natty's like, oh, I meant 4.5 days, TJ. Of course she's moving out in 4 days. That's why she brought everything she owns. TJ wasn't buying it, but he just went along with it because he's like, it's just fuel for the divorce attorneys if I document all of this stuff. That's all he's concerned with right now. It's obvious. Completely given up on this marriage. Completely. Just waiting to get all he can out of this broad, which will be a lot because he's really simple-minded. She'll sign anything. And so then she is moving from house A to house B, and the contractor, whom's a good friend of TJ, as it was established in a prior episode, that TJ
old
knew
Art.
The guy, yes, old Art, and she told TJ, oh, like $4,000 to fix up the house, and then we can sell it, that's it. And he's like, oh, are you sure? Because that's kind of a lot. And she's like, oh, no, just $4,000. He's like, well, it's $4,000, it's $4,000. You know, Art knows what he's talking about. But
I'm not a contractor, he says.
Yeah. And what TJ didn't know at the time was it was actually $15,000 to fix it. But Natty told him $4,000 so he would pay it without any questions because she just wanted to pay Art and be done with it. She's like, TJ will never come across Art, who he talks to on a regular basis. He'll never look at the bill. Art won't question it if TJ shorts him by $12,000. I'll just give him a number. But then, surprisingly enough, Art mentions to TJ, hey, that $4,000 check you sent me should have been for $10,000 more because it was $15,000. I told your wife. And TJ was like, you told someone who's not got the mentality past 6 years old? And Art's like, I'm sorry, TJ. I should have thought of that, but he did not. So TJ tells Natalia, hey, Art just told me it's $15,000. And she's like, well, it's your fault, TJ, and you're a horrible human being for calling me out on this, and you're the dirt worst because I lied to you, and then you caught me, and you should have never caught me in my lie. How dare you? You're horrible. And then she goes to the Bellas, and she tells the Bellas, so I've been lying to everybody about everything. I'm right. And they're like, no, even we, the Bella twins, the worst human beings ever, that repeatedly lie on the show to our significant others, would never do that. That's really bizarre. And so Natty's like, I hate you. I hate you. I should be able to lie to my husband about everything and not get caught. And he's calling me out. And that means he's wrong. And I should be able to lie to him and he'll believe anything. And she went storming out. Her and her insanely grotesque tan that makes her look like an alien from outer space. And she goes back home and she calls Ann Villanelli and Jenny and TJ. And she's like, I've been lying to you all for years. Here's everything I ever lied about. And she just goes through this gauntlet. And then she tells Ellie, you know, that lion head that was worth a fortune that you gave me, I had Daddy smash it in the driveway. And Ellie's like, that was from Kenya. And it was a one of a kind. And Daddy's like, and I lied about this, I lied about that. And I hate my wedding ring that TJ bought me, even though he spent thousands of dollars on it. Can't stand the thing. And that was Natty this episode.
You missed, there's two things with Natty. One was when she was driving around with her sister, she says the line, lying is Jodi Arias, okay? Pretending that she killed her boyfriend in self-defense. Me telling a little white lie is not lying. And her sister was right on board with that. Okay, so for Natty, the spectrum of lies is lying about murder. Or anything else, I guess. So, there's that. But then, Natty, she was backstage. No, they were at a bar or something. Where were they at? Fine Guy when TJ came up to confront her about all that. Where were they at?
They were at one of the arenas, I think.
But weren't they all, like, dressed real fancy? Were they at an arena? It seemed like they were getting Brie-mode, but maybe not.
I thought they were in an arena, but maybe I'm mistaken, but it seemed to me
they
at the
could
time
be.
That that's where they were.
It wouldn't make sense that they would be out and then TJ would just show up. So that's probably right. Regardless, she's sitting backstage talking with the ladies. She's like, ugh, TJ, he won't even look at me. He doesn't even want anything to do with me. I've been making passes with every man, woman, and animal I've seen. She's like, I saw a golden retriever across the street. And I was like, what's up, dog? Natty wanted a fucking dog. She said,
well,
she wanted to make love to a golden retriever because her husband's tired of being lied to.
To be fair, she also had that cat. And the random guy last week. And you wonder why TJ's like just not wanting to be in this marriage?
No.
Would any
I'm
divorce
not.
Judge in America question TJ's decision to have this marriage annulled when the broad has done all these things and now she's having affairs with animals? Because I'm pretty sure bestiality not legal in Florida.
It might be in Florida. So
we're
going right
to get
here.
Winky Face Jonak on that and give us the legal scoop.
Maybe some small town pizza lawyer can too.
Well, that's what she is.
Well, we're right here on Maddie and TJ and their house and all that. I want to talk about my favorite scene in the history of the world. Now, shortly after this episode begins, we find out about all this moving stuff. And so then about 20 minutes into it, we get a scene that words cannot describe the joy this 30 to 40 seconds brought me. I rewound and watched this probably 10 times. Beth and I, we watched it, and I was just crying with laughter at this. Maddie's talking about the moving and how TJ is slacking off, and then they cut to TJ, and he's holding the cat. And he's going, you looking for your black princess? So right off the bat, I'm like, we're getting into something. I don't want to know. And then she says how her dad is following TJ's lead. And then they cut to him. And he's just sticking his hand in the water to slip her on their fridge. For no reason. He's just Jim Neidhart is sticking his hand in this water to slip her on the fridge. Like, this water? What is this? Is this water? hey, is this water? Hey, and he just, I saw that. I kept rewinding. I was like, oh, I can't stop watching him doing this. I took video of it on my camera so I can watch it on my phone whenever I want. Whenever I'm having a bad day, I can watch that. And I'm like, nothing better is going to happen. Then the next scene is him just randomly doing the microwave. So he's been getting his hand wet. He's just been soaking his hand in their refrigerator, this water dispenser. And then the next thing we see, he's helping them by riding the vibrowave, just getting his shake on. And then the lion head, he goes. And as we find out, it's an $8 garage sale lion head, not from Kenya. And he grabs the lion head, goes up to his daughter, and goes, And then immediately after he does that, the next thing is Ellie Neidhart, and she's just forlornly pushing this box out of the door. It's the saddest looking thing I've ever seen. That poor hardworking old woman has had to put up with Jim the Anvil Neidhart for her whole life. Now she's had to put up with Natty all of Natty's life, Ginny, and she's making her push a box, this broken down old woman, while they're fucking around with the refrigerator's water dispenser and lion heads. And this poor old woman is just pushing a box that's as big as her. And I cried at that. And then immediately after that is when he goes outside and breaks the lines. And he's just like, ugh. Ellie comes outside and goes insane. And she said, it's from Tidia. I had a hard time getting it.
It's $8.
Your on sale, Lionhead. She had a hard time getting. And then immediately after that scene, they went right back to the Bellas and ruined my time. But for 40 seconds tops, I was just in a state of pure joy, just dying. Nothing will ever be better than that for me, Sign Guy. What do you think?
Probably not, but you have to think with the Anvil's documented problems in the course of his life, how many pills do those people take in a sitting? Do they just, like, sit around with, like, a giant salad bowl and they just fill it with pills and they just shovel them into their mouth and now you're like, I got a green one and a blue one, that's like a red one, and she just pops them.
I thought him putting his hand in the water was the best part until it kept going and it just kept being just as good. Him on the vibrowave, Ellie just pushing this box as big as her was maybe the best part.
The sad thing is, Anvil was probably legitimately trying to help him. Like, he wanted to move the water. He's going to move it to the other
side. Daddy, you need a cup. What? Oh, my God.
He probably got to the other house. Then there's no more water. He didn't know what happened to it. He's like, Ellie, where's my water? I moved the water, yeah. Ellie.
I don't have time for your water. I've got 8 boxes on my back like a work mule. Just thinking about that segment killed me. So who you want to talk about now?
Well, who is your worst?
Do you want me to get into that? I'll get into it.
Owe it to America.
Do you think you can guess it, Dean Ambrose?
I'm going to guess it's Brie Bella.
Nailed it. How did you know?
Because she is the Roman Reigns to your Dean Ambrose. You're intertwined is what I'm saying.
That's true. Let's talk about this wretched shrew of a human. Pretty much the first thing we see about her, besides the horrible whistling segment to start the episode, is that it was her anniversary, and she didn't know it. And then her wonderful husband got her a delightful ring she loved, and she still didn't get him anything. Now, I looked into this ring sign guy. What do you think these infinity rings from Tiffany's, that's what it was, what do you think they retail for?
$26,311.
$185.
I was nowhere close.
No, I thought it was something insanely fancy too. But, you know, I'm looking at the Infinity stuff right now, and it's just It's not that expensive.
Are you saying you bought an infinity ring?
No. Best not listen to this issue.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, wait, hold on. I'm seeing some that are more expensive now. But they look like garbage. And so they would fit Free Bella's personality quite well. There was one that was like $1,000 or so, but still, they're not what one would think when one hears infinity ring from Tiffany's as some big deal. So moving along though, she started off being real horrible, and then this vapid nightmare woman, she tries to deflect any negativity towards her about it, like, oh, so I'm a bad wife because I didn't do anything for my loving, thoughtful, beautiful, perfect husband that's amazing, and I didn't do anything, and I just sat around like a complete waste of space and did nothing. That makes me bad. Well, that makes me so bad. Shut up. Shut up. And then we have all the stuff with Daniel Bryan and his injury issues and so forth. They're well documented. We all know those. And there's this whole side story about her telling Nikki about it, and it's terrible. But she gets into discussing staycation with Nikki, and it's just maddening. Nikki's like, oh, staycations are the best, as if she's ever done a staycation in her life. And then Bree states, man, I wish I could do a staycation with Brian. But now that he's off the road and staying at home, we can't possibly do a staycation because he's just staying at home. There's no way we could ever do a staycation. Sign guy, do you think these two people know what a staycation is?
I think that they think that it's when you stay in your hotel room and do nothing but drink wine.
That is the most accurate thing you could have said there. Immediately after the staycation conversation, Nikki gets really mad, like, what? Why don't you care? Or no, I'm wrong. This was a different scene. Nikki's like, why don't you care about your husband? He has this neck, and his career might be over. And Nikki's really worried, and I actually believed it. I thought I like Nikki for it. And then Brie just starts taking selfies right after talking about how her husband's career, that he's, the only thing he's loved his entire life. It might be done, but let me go take some selfies over here. And who was she taking selfies with, same guy? Do you remember?
Natalia.
And then there's just one last thing, Bree, that really, really grated me. They were in the car again. She was again talking about Daniel's problems. He'd called her, what have you. And then Bree just goes, I had some gelato last night, and oh, now I'm feeling it. And then she points at someplace and goes, oh, look at this, one of my favorite yoga spots. Who could possibly have enough like yoga spots that they're willing to say that one of them is one of their favorites? Not their favorite, not, one they go to, but one of many favorite yoga spots they have. I hate this woman. She's everything I hate in a human. Every aspect of humanity that I find repugnant is inside of this woman. Everything that makes me like defines who I am as a person, what I feel, what I believe, to the core of me just manifests itself in this walking nightmare, this walking, yeah. Yeah, I had some gelato last night, and whoa, now I'm feeling it. Whoa. Fine guy, tell me. What about her?
Well, I was more angered at Nikki, but I see where you're
Really?
coming from. Yeah. I see where you're coming from with Brie. Every time, like, Brian's injury come up, she'd just be like, oh, yeah, him and his injuries, you know. Oh, yeah, let's go get some yogurt. But, and the fact that she was like, oh, now that he's off the road, like, he planted, he's just in Europe, and he's like, what can I do to make life hard for Brie? Career-ending injury. I'll get a career-ending injury. And he runs around yelling at Mark Carano, hey, have someone give me a career-ending injury. And then Brie can't do her staycation. It'll be fun. And Carano's like, yeah, buddy. And they give each other high fives. That's not what happened. In Brie's mind, that's how it went down. But in reality, no, it did not.
Now, Nikki, though, I do have to say, I put Nikki on my favorite list. For
we
one
are
reason.
Worlds apart then.
But there's one reason and one reason only. And I would do this. Let me explain. They're at TV. They're commentating. And Nikki Bella is asked who she wants to face at the upcoming pay-per-view. And she just says, Oh, I want to fight Rosa Mendez. And then she just starts cackling. And anytime someone mocks Rosa for her lack of anything, I'm going to put him in my top three. So that's it.
I did catch that, but I had her in my number two on the bottom three list because she harped and harped and harped on Daniel Bryan, and the more she was told to let it go, and it wasn't,
let it go.
Wasn't necessarily going to be career-ending, and they were dealing with it, the more she just wanted to focus on it. And she's like, but you should be worried, and you should be talking about it nonstop 24 hours a day and just do nothing but worry and make other people worry. And we just should all be in here just worrying and talking about it, and you're probably never going to wrestle again, and you're going to be hurt, and you'll be broke by tomorrow, and then you'll be out on the streets. And she just kept trying to make it worse, and the more they no-sold it, the more she wanted to force them to just be in sheer panic. And Brian finally just confronted her, and he's like, the last thing I need is for you to stress me out, so just knock it off. And she's like, oh, I don't see why you can be so calm, and you should be all panicked. And they're just like, well, we'll worry about it the way we want to worry about it and not have you, like, trying to make us feel worse than we already do. And that clearly upset Nicole. Like, how dare you not give me the satisfaction of watching you two worry? She just wanted
now,
entertainment off Daniel Bryan's injury.
Yeah. I agree. I didn't like her, honestly, either. But was anything worse? What was the word they were arguing over? Well, I can't, oh, God, that scene where Daniel and...
Yeah, they were talking about how she was a warrior. She was like a super overreactor.
Oh, God, was that not the worst scene of anything ever?
Not even Daniel Bryan could confirm or deny that it was an actual word.
Wretched. Who else did you dislike on the show? I've pretty much knocked all mine out.
In my third spot, I had Foxy.
Yes, she was.
I generally enjoy Foxy, but this last couple episodes, I have not. And this one, she wasn't in for a lot of time, but it was horrible. They're in a restaurant. There's probably about 8 people from WWE at this table, big crowd. And she's just going on and on about how Trinity doesn't know how to work the heel side, and she's not, like, connected with her emotions to bring out the heel side on TV. And so she throws a beverage on Trinity just at random for no reason, which legitimately caused Trinity to want to fight her, which nearly led to Trinity being arrested. She was thrown out of the restaurant. And then they cut back to Foxy after all the other people at the table went to check on John and Trinity to make sure everything was okay. And Foxy's just sitting at the table saying, "Where are all my friends at? Where'd they go?" Like she didn't know she was the one that caused the entire situation that led to everyone filing out to make sure Trinity wasn't sitting in the hooscow.
And she also says, "Nice party decorations, brother."
Yeah, that was actually a nice quote.
That was good. But she's positively unwatchable on the show. There's nothing that I, like, super hate about her, and there's nothing I at all like about her at the moment, so she's just unwatchable. You know, there's no reaction inside me.
What if she threw a glass of, say, a mimosa at you?
I've had lots of stuff thrown at me. In fact, even today, I had a push cart full of cardboard thrust at me repeatedly as someone tried to attack me with it. So lots of things have been thrown at me. Lots of fluids, fluids of all nature. Any fluid you can think of. But I'm not sure if a mimosa has.
Well, that makes a difference.
Maybe I would react entirely different.
All right.
So there, you know, we pretty much, TJ was a person I enjoyed this episode. I don't know if you made it to that far yet. You might still
hate
him
at number three.
Of your hate or your like?
My like.
Did you get all your hates out?
Yeah, Foxy was my third.
That's right. All right. Well, TJ, we pretty much discussed a lot of his stuff. He was kind of awful in his own way at times. But he completely redeemed himself for anything that he's ever done wrong. When him and Natty were creating a very awkward conversation for Renee Young, who was looking for any reason to just jet away because it was very awkward. And it comes out that he proposed by taking Natty to Burger King and buying her a Whopper Jr. That's excellent. So that's all I got.
Well, I had TJ in number three, and besides that, he knew his marriage is basically a sham. He knows that. So he's kind of like at the end, he's like, "Well, I don't mind that you lied to me every single day for the last several years about literally everything you've ever said. That's fine," because he's thinking, "I got it logged and documented in my dedicated notebook, and when the divorce attorney wants it, he'll have it, and I'll be free and clear." And also, one of the things he did, and this goes to him, but also goes to why I also dislike Natty, so they had someone's, like, portfolio, like, I'm sure some independent guy that was from Calgary that TJ knew, and he said, "Would you look at my portfolio and maybe get it to the right people in WWE if you think I have the potential?" And TJ like, "Oh, of course, you know, let me review the stuff." And now he's like, "Why do we have some guy's workout stuff? We're not taking this with us." She's like, just trying to throw it out. She spent like years trying to get from the independents to WWE. How would she have felt if she had given her portfolio to someone in the WWE to review and to hopefully get to someone that would watch it and could hire her, and they just, "I'm moving, I'll just throw it in the garbage. I don't want to take the time to put this envelope in a box and take it to my new house." But TJ kept that, and he was, like, trying to help some independent at least get looked at by WWE. That was something that was a nice quality of TJ.
Absolutely. Plus, he kept his DVD of the Hart Foundation versus Prime Time.
He did, which was odd that they had a dedicated DVD for that.
I'm certain he made it himself.
Or a fan just copied the match and gave it to him at like a signing or something.
Nope. There's no fan on earth that's ever watched the Hart Foundation versus Prime Time. Nope. I don't believe that part.
There's TJ fans that have watched every match he ever had, even when he was in Pinnacle Wrestling in Pacific Washington in front of 150 people.
And even still, they're not going to watch the Hart Foundation versus JTG and Shad Gaspar.
Technically, it was the Hart Dynasty. Hart Dynasty.
True. Maybe that would make it different by saying it different like that.
Obviously so, because the DVD existed.
And he made it himself. Boom. I know he did. There's no way. No one's ever watched it. Never.
He did.
Hey, if you could go back in history to when that aired and review every DVR that had it on there, the only thing you would see is double fast forward. It's a fact. You can look it up. There's statistics that prove this.
I bet Winky Face Joanak is listening to this right now saying, hey, that's my favorite match of all time.
No.
She's probably got like 3 copies of it.
She probably has some bad opinions, but not that one.
I bet that's her favorite all-time match. If you ask her right now, she will tell you, oh yeah, that's my favorite match of all time. I remember watching that 18 times in 1 week over and over again because I have nothing better to do.
Even if I had nothing better to do, I would rather do anything else than watch the Hart Dynasty versus Prime Time.
She wouldn't. That was like her, at that time, that was her one thing in life was that match.
And now I've taken that away too.
Yes, you have.
I've minimized that. Man, the Sharp family, we just keep destroying that little... little lady's life.
She's probably like, now he'll never marry me. He hates my favorite match.
Yeah.
Big tears pouring down that face. She's going to break into your home, grab you out of your sound sleep, shake you, saying, watch it again. I think you'll grow to love it. And she'll have like 3 copies of it, and she'll say, how many TVs do you have? Maybe if you watch it multiple angles, you'll love it.
And then we would all watch it and love it?
That would be the hope. And then she'd probably snip off some of your hair.
Oh, her neck would already have been broken by Beth. Come on. Well, that was the thing. What else? Anything else with this episode?
Number 2, I had Ellie. And we discussed Ellie, but there was one thing that stilled it. I nearly put her on number 1, but not quite. She looked at Jim when she discovered the lion's head was broken. Accident. And she's like, this isn't over, Jim. And just walked away all mad. Like she was going to gut him in his sleep or poison his stew or something. But she had murderous revenge in her eyes over that lion's head.
As I stated, that whole segment's the best thing that's ever happened to the world. Ah, so good. Well, I think
my number 1 this week.
Oh,
leaps
oh my
and
gosh.
Bounds. leaps and bounds above everyone, Renee Young.
Yeah. Because, yeah, the awkwardness.
That, and then she's just watching the monitor when Trinity has her match. And someone's like, huh, Trinity seems a little awkward there. And she's like, oh, yeah, she's having a meltdown in the back. I saw it. And everyone's like, well, that explains that. That's why Renee Young is the voice of what's happening in WWE. Because she's there. She knows what's going on. She goes from diva to diva to diva to diva. She gets all the little inside scoops. She finds out what's going on. And then when people are like, well, this seems really bizarre, Renee Young says, no, it's not, because this is what's going on. And then they're like, that makes perfect sense. And Addie, like, telling her lies doesn't faze her, because Renee Young knows it's a lie, and so she digs through the lie until she grasps that bastion of truth, pulls it up like a shining beacon, and shares it with the world.
Renee Young was, it was good she was there for us. She really came through.
She was the best thing of that show or any other one which she has ever graced.
Well, she wasn't that one segment, but she was pretty good. nothing as good. She's good as Renee Young is. She's not Jim Neidhart thinking he drinks water by putting his pay in.
He was going to move the water to the new house. Couldn't figure out where it went.
Where's the water need to go?
He's probably yelling at Natty. I moved the water, but I don't know where it went. I can't find it.
Well, hey, Natty, you need help moving? I'll go shake my ass on your body waves. I'm moving big time, Natty. I'm moving it all around. All parts of me are going every which way.
Now, here's something we haven't considered because it just popped in my head.
Yes.
Natty agreed to take in 19 cats.
Yes.
And then moved.
Did she leave the cats there?
I don't know, but she moved. She took in the 19 cats.
Now, here's
so
a lot of possible.
She said to her parents, oh, you'll have to take care of the cats while I'm in Europe.
Yes.
And Anvil was here, oh, that's a lot of cats there. But then they're in Europe when she tells CJ, oh, yeah, we closed on that house and we can move next week.
Now,
so clearly.
I figured it out. No, I figured it out. They had all these cats. The cats are just running wild, ruining everything. And they didn't know what to do. Their house was ruined. So Lily said, why don't you just go get a new house and replace it?
That explains why the carpet was ruined.
Oh, jeez. Hey, kids just get another house.
I bet Ellie's done that.
Her and Jim have definitely just got another house at some point. That's why Ellie still has to work. Well, let's wrap this thing up. Put a bow on it.
We got one other piece of business here. He's been waiting. I believe QT has a proposal he wants to make.
Oh, no.
Yes, I paid big money to throw a mimosa at Rex Sharp. Yes.
How much money?
I've got my services come pretty cheap.
You could throw a mimosa at me for like a mimosa. Like, you buy me a mimosa, then you can throw one at me.
Oh, okay. Wow. And I did some research, and I think K-Cups are produced and sold in Mexico. Yes.
Do you know how much they cost?
Oh, they pay in pesos. But you have to, worldwide, there's been kind of an outrage at K-Cups because you got to clean them with distilled water to get out the mineral deposits. Because a lot of people are reporting that the K-Cups don't make it to the warranty if you don't clean them.
This is very true. We do have to use distilled water in our curing. And also, apparently, they're just making a mountain of mess in the landfills.
Oh, yes. And that degradation gets into our bloodstream and makes us act like Natalia Neidhart.
Wow.
Yes. And then you find yourself with all this K-cup mercury going into your bloodstream, making you act like Natalia Neidhart, and you find yourself in an institution watching cartoons like Dastardly Muttley and laughing like Dastardly Muttley.
I'll tell you this much, not me, because I'm drinking Miller Lite, and it helps you to live forever, I learned, so.
Oh, okay. Sometimes I'm just saying sometimes the mercury in landfills makes you become a cat person and fill your house with 18 cats. Yes.
This has been verified. This is confirmed. I have heard of this.
Now, QT, is the reason you recently moved because you agreed to take in 19 shelter cats? And then you
decided
to move?
Yes, it is. I'm not proud of it, but yes, that's the truth.
Does not shock me.
Now,
yes,
any of those,
yes.
any of those cats, did you just decide, oh, that cat, it got out the window. It's definitely eaten by a gator. Maybe I'll just go replace it with a similar one. Did you decide that?
Well, I have a coyote chained outside my window for escaping cats. Yes. A coyote. When I crossed the Guatemalan border 8 years ago, it came with a coyote. Yes, I had to pay a coyote.
Yes. That's a different kind of coyote. You mean you have a Mexican chain up outside your window?
Yes, and the coyotes get pissed when they throw a mimosa at them. Yes.
And it eats your cats to jump out the window.
Yes. You bad coyote, here, take a little mimosa and throw a mimosa at him. Yes.
Oh, no.
You say, quit your howling. I'm trying to watch Total Divas.
This milk of day.
Yes. Spanish-speaking coyote.
Oh man, I don't know what to do now. I think we're done. Sign guy or QT first. You got what's your big news, QT? What do you got coming up? Anything?
Oh, let's see now. Yes, there's a Lucha wrestling special in Tacoma that I'm going to hopefully on Monday, and I think it runs from 6 to 8. Yes.
Any of the roster for the show? Any of the lineup? Do you know any of that?
Let's see. I had that written down. It's somewhere. I can't get to it at the moment. I know El Sonico, one of my favorite lucha wrestlers, is going to be there. That's big. He's a young talent. El Sonico.
All right. So if you're in the Tacoma, Washington area, check that out.
Yeah, I'm taking my coyote with me, too.
This is the most racist thing I've ever heard in my life to show you guys. We're going to get Hogan.
Maybe Beast will write a poem for us.
Yes.
Sign guy, what do you got coming up?
Well, Friday on our show, QT and I will be interviewing our next Zane in a line of Zanes. We'll have Zane Stevens on the show QT scouring footage as we speak to get questions, which will probably include questions about the cartoon Garfield and Friends. And then Sunday, we have on our show Turnbuckle Turmoil, Leland Race, the son of Handsome Harley Race.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to ask Leland if he's ever been bit by a coyote. That's a legit question.
I guess that is a legitimate, that is in the English language, the lexicon, the way our syntax is, that is a legitimate question.
Yes.
Anything else, Line Guy?
I think that does it.
August 21st, the Razor Ramones in Indianapolis at the Fifth Quarter Lounge with Best Band in the World, Be My Doppelganger, with Star Wars themed band, the Yavin 4, with, who else is playing that? Someone else is playing that. Oh, the Jericho Harlot on tour, as well as, I believe, Reed Bentley will be there. I believe Trip Cassidy will be there. I believe Zane Paisley and the Undisputed Wrestling Show will be there. We got a bunch of other geeks there. It'll be a thing. And then August 28th, back in Louisville, with our Art of Wrestling Eskimo brothers, the Barbariettes, as well as Tracers and Boner Party, Boner. I don't remember what the band. It's something with the Boner. You guys know what it's called? It's a Boner.
I remember the guy from Growing Pains named Boner.
Vincent Stabone.
Yep.
There's an island in the Caribbean named Bonaire.
Well, this is definitely like a Boner, Boner something. I don't know. There's something. So that's
all I know is that when he walks, Zane Paisley makes strange whistling sounds. Yes.
QT, why don't you pitch the show to the end for us, however you want to do it.
Oh, okay. Well, this has been another life effervescing moment with Total Dudes. Yes, you should tune in every week. Your IQ will go up, and you may have a mimosa thrown at you. That's pretty good at living, yes.
Only on Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex.
Because now I'm back.